All right, welcome back, Red Eyes members. Thank you for joining us. We're going to dive straight into our conversation with John Harris from TPUC.org.
Hello.
Hey, John, I'm here. So you're a good friend of Brian Gerrish?
Oh, yeah. Funny enough, we've known each other for a couple of years now, and we got to know each other through this.
Okay.
One friend's contacted this... thought it would be a very good idea that we spoke, and we ended up talking. And I've recently been down and I've done a job for Brian at his house, and also done a job for his dad.
Nice.
We're really good friends. We share information, and it's funny how Brian's information and my information are starting to merge.
Yeah, the dovetail. Very interesting.
It's very interesting because he's been telling me for a long, long time that children were being stolen by social services and in this country. And I knew he had the evidence as well. So I kind of, I couldn't see how it was possible. I've now proved how it's possible. I know how they do it now.
Okay.
And it's all the birth certificate.
Really? What do you know what the purposes for this are? What are they using the children for? Are these like, Is this connected with the pedophilia, the slave sex networks?
Yeah,
and stuff
it's
like that?
Kind of. Yeah, there is something along them lines. Brian knows more about that. I kind of see it. The social services is I found it to be a PLC,
and that is
so the public limited company.
Okay. Yeah.
And public limited company is obviously got shareholders, and when obviously with. Having shareholders, they need to make a profit, and the only way they can do that is by stealing children. And they are actually working to quotas, so you mean they actually have to steal children to quotas.
Huh. And do you know who they're being sold to?
No, I haven't got a clue. I wish I knew. Because I've got a funny feeling Brian's going to find out sooner or later.
Okay, because I've heard this a few years ago. Allegedly, kids were being taken for such gruesome things as harvest of their organs and things like that, you know, even like for older, you know, richer people, they took their kidneys or they took their other, you know, parts of their body that they needed, and gruesome stuff like that.
It wouldn't shock me in the least. Well, I'll be quite honest with you. I nothing shocks me nowadays.
Yeah.
No, there isn't. You know, I don't kind of, it's really strange actually because I looked at fear for a long, long time. I looked at how fear affects people. And I suddenly realized that the only time you actually fear is when you're actually thinking about something. That's when you should, because you create the fear yourself.
Yeah, of course.
So if you, obviously if you're frightened of a dark room and you walk into the dark room, the reason you fear is because you're thinking about walking into that dark room and you're frightened of it. So you create the fear. And I actually believe that the symbolism that's been deployed all over the world for the Ministry of Funny Handshakes and all the other, it creates its own fear. It's only there because someone said, this is this, you should fear it, and you create the fear.
Yeah.
I do believe that. I believe it. I don't believe anybody's a god. I don't believe in any form of magic. Don't believe in anything like that, mumbo jumbo. I believe in what I can see, what I can touch. The reason I say I know there's something above us because I feel it. I feel it in me. It's given me evidence as well. It has given me, it's very, very subtle. It works very subtly. That's the beauty of this is the subtleness it works with. And every single day, every one of us are given these subtle little messages. It's whether you can bother your ass to pick up on them.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's all it's about. And then once you remove yourself from living in the ego, you see these little subtle things. You see them. And I work with a very, very basic and ancient form of numerology. That's just never wrong. It's never wrong. The numbers never, ever are wrong. And I've come away from it but it just kind of tells me today's four. Four's a really good day today because it's a catalyst that causes change. It means that there's going to be a change today to something that something will change that need that I. How can I explain it? The catalyst is generally something that causes change, but doesn't change because it doesn't need to, but it causes change.
Oh, okay. So not for you personally, but out into the world, the ripples.
It's hard to explain. Yeah, it's like the catalyst that causes change. But then what you can do is you can take the whole day. You can take the day, and it gives you different messages. It tells you different things. And what I do is I don't really run my life by it, but I like today's a catalyst. So something's going to change today. And it could be something very, very small, or it could be something very big. It's generally very subtle.
Yeah.
Today's also the concept of saying sacred. So it's something that people, obviously, the way that this was wrote is got like quite biblical meanings. But I take something that's quite sacred as to being, to me, is, you know, something that's sacred to me. You know, I kind of like, I don't know how to explain it in a better way.
Yeah.
But it's very, very difficult to explain because it's kind of got all the meanings are quite biblical. But a friend of mine is, Brian's one of the best people I know actually doing it. It's a decipher in the Bible. He actually can decipher it, and he gets the Bible and he reads it in a completely different way. My partner does exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner said to me one night, Jesus didn't sacrifice himself. He sacrificed his ego, his person. That's what it's all about. He just left the message. Now, whether that story is true, there's none of us can confirm it because none of us were there.
Yeah.
But metaphorically, it's absolutely bang on because it's about sacrificing the ego.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's what I feel also, it's another symbol, if you will, and that means, or a mythological story, a character, you know, whatever way we choose to interpret it, we can always put our own connotation to it. I mean, because what you mentioned when we talked in the first hour was the literal interpretation of this that evolves into the Messiah complex that feels that, you know, you have to sacrifice yourself in that sense. But again, it becomes a symbol, so it means that we can always put our own interpretation into it, and I think that's the best thing to describe it. And again, and then it's up to people to do their own, you know.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. This is it. Mine is just one of 6 billion views.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah, yeah, but it's just I'm not saying this. Yeah, I only talk about, like I said, I don't do the evangelist bit anymore. You know, and I only talk about what I personally. You know, it's the experiences that I've gone through in my life that have led me to where I am now.
Yeah.
To not a greater understanding of the truth, but a greater understanding of me.
Absolutely. Exactly. That's what it's all about, the discovery of yourself. And I think what you primarily talked about in the first segment is the awareness of what it is that we are experiencing, be it this artificial system that we've been talking about or whatever it is. It's that idea that you can actually, if you will, remove yourself, your essence, if you will, a little bit away from the body and not be so close to it in that sense, and have a little bit of distance to it, and like have that overarching awareness of what is it that I'm really a part of at this moment? What is happening to me? What am I, you know, agreeing on? What am I doing? What are the rules here? You know, things like that. And I think it boils down to that simple idea of greater awareness, and when each of us, you know, try to incorporate that, something amazing
happens. I like words of wisdom, Heinrich. And the reason I like words of wisdom is because they bypass the ego, because the ego can't understand them.
Yeah.
The words of wisdom are riddles to the brain. And the reason they're riddles to the brain is because then they're designed to bypass the brain. That's why wisdom is so powerful. But you can't be given something that you already possess. You just have to find a way of connecting to it.
Yeah.
And what we look at in the world is a world that's abound by knowledge, but it has no wisdom whatsoever. There is no wisdom. And we've been told since time immemorial that men, especially, have to connect to their feminine side.
Mm-hmm.
The feminine side is not about putting lipstick on and wearing a short skirt, which most men would say. What it's simply about is connecting to your wisdom, and your wisdom is your intuition, your gut feeling. You know, I've got this gut feeling that, you know, How many times do people say, I've just got this gut feeling about it? And that's their intuition saying, look, he's shouting at you. Look, I'm talking to you. Listen to me. For once, listen to me. Because if you listen once, you'll listen again.
Yeah.
That's all it's saying to you. I mean, people say to me, you know, oh, spiritual people, you know, oh, this bloke sat on a mountain for 30 years and come down, blow, and knows everything. And I said, but isn't spirituality about love? And isn't anybody who loves anything spiritual? People can't understand what I'm talking about. I said, you don't need to know everything about what's going on in the world to love.
No.
All you need to, and when you, one of the things that I've discovered, and personally in myself, is this, and it's lovely when you come to it. It's hard, but you can do it, and I do it. I'm starting, it's becoming easier for me now, is the fact that when you release the ego and you let go of it, you suddenly learn what it's like to love unconditionally. Because it's only the ego that stops you loving unconditionally.
Mm.
And that's it. All there is in the world is unconditional love. It's about, it's not for me to judge. It's not for me to opinionate, really. It's not for me to do any of that.
Mm.
I basically simply, if I don't want to be controlled, then I should want for no form of control.
Mm.
And that's absolutely true. It is absolutely true. All I know that is that I've got to love everything. And sometimes the hardest things to love are the ones that need it the most.
Mm.
You know, and they're the hardest to love. People say to me, I sat in a conversation with some people a little while ago, and someone said, they were saying the best way to sort this out is to go down to Parliament, drag a couple out and hang them. I says, oh, right, yeah, that's a brilliant way of sorting it out.
Yeah,
I said,
right.
You know, Gandhi actually said an eye for an eye would leave the world completely blind, which is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Gandhi, I mean, what Gandhi, a lot of great bits of wisdom that came from Gandhi, which the brain doesn't understand, but the heart does. I said, but if Tony Blair walked through the door, at this door at this moment in time, and you pointed a gun at him, I would stand in the way. And he couldn't understand that. And I said, well, the reason being is because Tony Blair is a victim. He's more a victim than you are.
Yeah, there you go.
And he needs my help to get back to being the human being and getting out of the person. Because his life is the ego. And the only reason he can do what he can do, it's because he lives in the ego, and the ego has dropped a shutter door down behind the eyes and cut him off from his emotions. So, but sooner or later, because of what's actually happening in the world, them shutter doors are going to be lifted, and poor old Tony Blair and George Bush and all these people in the world who live in the person have done these nasty things are suddenly going to have to live with the realization of what they've done.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that they need to do in order to remedy.
Absolutely.
You know.
That's because it's what you give out, you're going to get back.
Yeah.
And they're going to get it back. The only thing is that the powers that be, that whoever it is who've done whatever they've done, and I don't put any name to them, but whoever it is, have basically, they worked out something very simple. All you have to do is play on the ego. And all you have to do is build a world that revolves around greed. But like I said with the fire, greed is like a fire. Greed can never end. Because if you build something and you've always been greedy, you can't just switch that off.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, enough is never enough.
Mm.
And they will consume everything, and within that process, consume themselves.
And I'm thinking if that actually is more of a law of nature in a way, actually, meaning that it's like a parasite in that sense that you know that turns on itself, or when it finally have killed the host, if you will, dies itself. It's like
it's a virus.
Yeah, it's like eradicating itself. It's like the last thing that it can do.
Mankind's like a virus on the earth, and there's only two ways of getting rid of a virus. It either you give it an antidote or you eradicate it. That's the only two ways. Now, we've been given a choice, and we've been given a choice thousands of times to cure the virus. And the simple virus that afflicts mankind is the ego. That's the only thing it is. It's nothing. That's what I see. I only see, because that's what I know happens in me. I've watched myself. I've watched what my ego, not only what it's actually, it's done to other people, but what it's done to me. I've watched what it can do, and it is the most self-destructive element that anything could possibly possess. It's a self-destruct button. It really is. It can destroy itself. If it can't destroy everything around it, it will destroy itself or its host. And you're absolutely right. It's a parasite. It is a parasite. I don't, like I said, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know anything about it. And the point is, I don't want to know, because it's not important. None of that information is important. All I know is that I'm suddenly becoming, having an ability to actually deny it control. And actually say to it, no, you're not controlling me anymore. I'm not controlling you. I'm just going to cut it off. And it's very, I don't know, it's probably a paradox, is that if something's saying it's got power over you and you turn your back on it and ignore it, all of a sudden its power diminishes.
Yeah, well, that's true. Also, at the same time, I feel, well, first of all, ego always should be defined also in that sense. What is it really? What is, you know, if we talk about psychology, for instance, what is the construct of the ego, and exactly where do we draw the line between, I mean, as Terence McKenna said some while back, which is a good thing in regards to like getting rid of the ego, he said, well, on one regard, we need the ego if we define it in the sense that this is what defines that you actually put food into your own mouth and not into, you know, the other guy's mouth or whatever, you know, that it's a construct there that obviously is needed. But then the question is how much you let that control you. That's how I see it at this point, at least.
Isn't it better, though, to put some food into someone else's mouth?
Well, as long as someone else is feeding you, obviously, but then you need to rely on that someone is doing that. You know what I mean?
Do you know what? It's one of them circular things. It will just keep going round and round in circles.
Exactly.
I don't get involved in any of the circular things, because someone said to me recently, will you debate? I said, no. And they said, why? I said, because it's an argument. And I said, well, no, it's not. It's a debate. I said, no, it's just it's another name for an argument. I said, I don't have to debate. I don't want to know what's coming. As far as I'm concerned, what is going to happen in the future is for my future, is what I create today. And if I create a world today that I love and I respect and I believe myself to have no greater dignity than anybody else, I'm no better, no less, then the world that I'm creating, my world, will be that world. Now, if I create a world of hate and I create a world of war and destruction, then that's what the future will hold for me. And I believe that I am constructing the future, because it's not here yet. It's not written. It's something that we have a chance. That's why Gandhi said so simply, we have to be the change we want to see. Because when we change now, then we affect how we are in the future. Because everything that we're around us is affected by the way that we present ourselves. Everything is affected. And the ideal, look how people talk to each other. If you talk to people with attitude and anger, then generally you're going to get attitude and anger back.
Yeah.
Now, if you talk to people generally politely and respectfully, and you don't use harmful words or anything towards, then they react in the same way.
In most cases, that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. But sooner or later, it doesn't matter who you come up against. I've noticed this, that it doesn't matter how people present themselves to you. Sooner or later, you connect to the human being. You start to bypass the ego and you start to talk to the heart. And when you finally get through to the heart, the human being suddenly realizes that you have an ability to switch this thing off. You can switch it off. You can actually say, no, you're not controlling me anymore. And the world that we live in controls us through our ego. It controls us through our fear. It controls us through the need for money, and money resides in the ego. Everything is to do with the person and the ego. There's nothing in this world that doesn't revolve around these two elements, which really are the same. They're just separated. And that's why the system that they use with the person, the piece of paper, works so well.
Mm.
Because it's deception. And the ego deceives you. That's exactly what it's doing. Because it's saying, look at what we say we have a personality. So we're actually now accrediting actual human feelings to something that is non-existent. We're actually doing it. We're saying we have a personality. But that's not, it's nothing to do with the mind. It's to do with the human being. But they've now saying to us, well, yeah, I was told when I was a kid I had a personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Now I look back and I'm saying, well, yeah, I did have a personality disorder because I was always fighting against the person. I was always fighting against this so-called personality that I had. You know, I was always at war with it.
Mm.
And that's what caused me so much distress all through my life. But what it was actually teaching me was that there is this thing there and that I do, you know, I can have the ability to just say, no, you're not going to control me anymore. You know, I'm not going to do the things you want me to do. I'm going to do these things. I am. I'm going to say, I want to love. I don't care what you say anymore. I want to love. But this person's shouting in your face. It doesn't matter. I want to love this human being. I'm not dealing with the person anymore. I'm dealing with a human being. And a human being requires love. Doesn't matter what the person is or what the person's done. The human being needs my love. And sooner or later, the human being will realize that there is a person there, and they'll have the ability to disconnect from that person and become a human being again.
Mm.
And that's how I look at it. I just look at it very simply. Mm. You know, and the more, and like I said, I look at the laws of attraction, and the laws of attraction say that things, it says to me that if I love, I will be loved.
Yeah.
And if I do not want for control of anything, then I won't be controlled. And that's, I can self-govern. I don't need a government. I don't need someone to tell me what to do. I don't need to be given liberty. I was born a man, and a man is born free.
Yes.
I don't need to be given liberty. I don't need to be given something called freedom. I will never accept that one element of a community can say, we have everything, it is ours, and we are going to make you pay for the pleasure of living on planet Earth.
Mm.
I won't accept that. I'm sorry. I can never accept it because it's wrong.
And again, this idea of that you can also create the environment that you want to be in. I like that idea a lot as well, meaning that on one regard, even though that the planet is being slowly being turned into this grid of control, some people call it prison planet, whatever you want to call it, it's slowly but surely getting tighter and tighter, the grip, as it were, around this idea of our freedom. But at the same time, I also feel that we can live free in the system that we're in, if you know what I mean. Just
with this
idea of law of attraction that you were mentioning, John, that what we focus on, if we focus too much on how bad our situation is all the time, then
it gets worse.
Yeah, well, exactly. Doesn't it? Isn't that interesting?
It does. Absolutely. It gets worse. That's why, you know, I love the way you've put that. It's absolutely true because it is the laws of attraction. If you focus on the bad, then the bad is just going to keep. See, the point is, I suppose, the simpleness of this is that the whatever's happening in the world is happening because it's meant to happen.
Yeah.
Everyone who leaves today is meant to leave, and everybody who comes today is meant to come. That's how I see things. I see things quite literally.
It's an order. It's an imperfect balance. Everything that happens for, it's a purpose, a reason, and everything is on cue. It's online. We don't need to worry about it, you know?
No, I don't worry about it. I don't. People say, oh, what about the war? No, I'm not. I won't worry about anything. And I kind of, really strange, a little while ago, I said to someone about any, they were talking about energies, and I don't really get involved in any of this, but they were talking about energies. And I said, well, I kind of like was told a long, long time ago by a very, very, dear friend, an old lady down in Cornwall, who said to me, all you've got to do is chill out, relax, and stay away from technology. That's what she told
me. Stay away from technology.
Absolutely, stay away from technology. Yeah. And I said, okay. I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, I didn't connect to any of it at the time. I was trying to force control on everything and trying to do it. And anyway, I was talking to someone recently about disease. And someone had said to me in an email, or they'd said it to me, I can't remember now, about human beings should be in the higher energies. This is what we're told. And I was talking to someone about disease, and I was talking about to a friend, and I says, I don't believe that human beings should be in the higher frequencies. I believe we should be in lower frequencies. And I said, I'll explain what I mean. I said, when you go to sleep, your body naturally sinks down to a lower state, and it just naturally does it. Your breathing becomes slow, your heart runs slow, and your body fixes itself when it's asleep. It can actually, it repairs itself.
Yeah.
And Jess said to me, that's really strange. She said, because diseases can only live in the higher energies. I went, oh, right. Okay, now that's interesting. So when you're asleep, the disease, you start to repair the disease, because the disease, and disease comes from, as I believe, the word dis-ease. So when you're at dis-ease, you get diseased.
Yeah.
And when you're at dis-ease, you worry and you stress and all these are higher stuff. You know, and so what I did, when I was looking at law and everything, I actually found something that's very interesting, is the fact that whatever they say, the truth is exactly 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
In most cases, yeah, exactly.
But that's exactly the same with everything. So when someone says, well, you need to live in the higher frequencies, the actual truth of it is we have to live in the lower frequencies, because disease can't exist in them frequencies, but it can in the higher frequencies. So we've been told, get to the higher frequencies. And everybody's like, oh, God, I couldn't work it out. And these similarities have started to happen all the time about sort of, This lower being calm and relaxed. And then we started to talk about sort of like sort of what I was told. I said, you know, stay away from technology, blah, 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 and all of this. And relax and don't stress and calm down. And then I found, well, how do I relax? How do I calm down? And I actually suddenly realized that when I stop thinking about things, I naturally become relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no stress anymore, because generally the things I'm thinking of are causing the stress in the first place, or the worry, and worry is stress, and they say stress is a killer, because, you know, obviously it does do that to you. You become very ill, and the reason your state or whatever you are in is actually in something it's not meant to be in, so it becomes very at disease. And so I was kind of like, hold on, so if I stop thinking about things, I stop worrying, I stop stressing, then I can become relaxed. When I'm relaxed, then I don't want to go near technology. This is making sense now. This is all starting to like make sense. There's a simpleness here. And then I got to thinking about the internet. And it suddenly dawned on me what the internet actually is and how it's used every single day. And the point is with the internet is that every infrastructure in the world to do with control, banking, anything you look at, only works because it works via the internet. Now, I talked to a few people about this, and I said, no, but they said, but there's secure connections, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, but it's still connected. It doesn't matter if anything's secure, or there's pipelines, or there's this, or there's that. They're still all connected.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they're relying upon this entity called the internet to function.
Yeah.
Without it, they can't function. Because you might have an intranet of a bank and another intranet of a bank, but they need a way of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And that is done via the internet. Now, I realized a long time ago that there is two systems of money. There's the slave money, which is this paper stuff that we believe is real. Well, the only reason it works is because everyone believes it's real. If you went to your shop tomorrow with whatever you use and the shopkeeper said, no, I can't accept that because it's not real, then people would start to realize what money really is. But because we all believe it to be real, that's why it works. It's an illusion. Anyway, but if you've got this, you've got like these, this system, okay, of one type of money, which is the paper money that the slaves use, and then you've got a digital world, which is just noughts and ones on a computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens when that computer screen doesn't work anymore? What happens when the noughts and ones are not there? They haven't got anything.
Mm.
It's all gone in the blink of an eye. What happens when their credit card doesn't work anymore? What happens when their control system doesn't work anymore? Because it's okay having a database of individuals and you have cards or whatever they're going to use. But what happens when they can't check that card against the system? Now, there's 62 million people in England or the UK. Are they going to carry the names and addresses of 62 million people in paper on the back seat of the car? Well, they can't. And that's the point. The whole system revolves around the internet. It is the internet. So if the internet shut down, their money world would disappear. Their control systems would disappear. Everything would just disappear in the blink of an eye. And their whole world would collapse.
You're thinking at the end scene of Fight Club, that movie, if you've seen it, we restart, reboot the entire system, right? Yeah, they blow up three buildings that hold all the mainframes of the credit status around the world, I think, or something like that.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. See, that's it. But basically, what I'm saying is, if the system of control is the internet, if you take the internet away. And what would happen as well is when the internet goes, see, the internet's got a nasty thing as well, because the internet has broken more families than you could possibly imagine, because it's an obsession. You actually, it's like a drug. You get addicted to it. I know, because I live the addiction. I live it.
It's no accident they call it the web, you know?
No, because it's an addiction. You actually are. I'm addicted to these bloody things. I come down in the morning, I want to make a cup of coffee, I'm going to have a fag because I like smoking. And I know people say it's wrong, but I like smoking. And at the end of the day, that's probably one of my last battles, possibly caffeine as well, because I do like strong coffee. But there you go. But the next thing I want to do, before I've even had breakfast, is want to turn the computer on and check my emails.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, what are you doing here? You know, what's this all about? Why are you going to this bloody machine and turning it on? There's so much more out there in the world. Oh, but it's an addiction. So what's happened is the amount of people I've talked to, it's actually destroyed their families. It's okay. Destroyed their lives. They've got obsessed with this thing. They're on it from the time they finish work to the time they go to bed. And it's destroyed their communication skills with their family. It's destroyed the family itself because this thing is taking precedence over everything else that's important to these people. So it traps people, and it traps. And what actually happens is, as the process goes along, you're being taken away from what you actually are trying to connect to, because what you're doing is you're looking externally for something that you need to find internally, and the way you find it internally is to be out in nature, is to actually realise what they. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Look at a tree. I look at a tree and people say to me, you're mad. I said, no, I'll go. Look at a tree. It doesn't get fed by anything. I don't care what scientists say. As far as I'm concerned, scientists can't prove to me. They can't show me stuff happening. They can only theorize that it happens, and it's only best guess at the end of the day. And when they can actually say to me how a bumblebee flies, then they might be on the right track. But a bumblebee was given to scientists to basically say,
it can fly.
It can't fly. Yeah. So basically give it to say, look, there's something better than you and you're never going to suss it out, so stop bloody trying. it's a message. It was a message given to us. It's like, but what basically, I look at a tree and they say to me, it's a tree. I said, no. Look, it's in the ground. It's got this phenomenal root system, which you can see, and I've dug trees up in my past and part of what I used to do for a living. So I understand, I've seen the root systems and they exist. And you've got this tree that stood there for hundreds of years. It basically needs light and it needs water.
Mm.
That's basically all it needs. And look at it. It lives. It's phenomenal. We need the bloody thing,
yep.
As far as scientists are concerned, because it takes in carbon monoxide and whatever and pumps out oxygen, whatever. But the point is what I'm making is We don't have to understand how it does what it does. Just enjoy the beauty of it. And that's what we miss, because we, you know, this is why kids are ending up the way they're ending up. This is because the education system is actually trying to say to them, look, see that tree? This is it, metaphor, morphosis, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Instead of just saying, look how beautiful it is. Just marvel at it being there. Don't try and explain why it's there. That's all we need to know. We don't need to know anything else. We just need to know it's there and it looks beautiful. It's amazing. And it's like everybody, like I said earlier about these species, everybody's looking for species off of this planet.
Mm.
There's millions of species on this planet that we can't connect to, we can't communicate with, we don't got a clue what they really are. And we presume that we're higher up the food chain or whatever you want to call us, or we're brainier because we can't communicate. We don't know what birds can do. We don't know what lions and tigers and elephants and all that. We don't know how they communicate because we don't understand them. Because we've lost the ability to actually properly get in touch with these things. Because we look at it from a scientific... I stood next to a horse today, funny enough. I was feeding, I'll give it a polo. I'll give it a mint, this horse, and it loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was standing next, and I was talking to this horse, and looking at it, and all I could... I was just marvelling at the bloody size of this thing. It was massive, this horse. It was absolutely... And it was covered in mud. It had been rolling about in the mud. And I was just stood by it, and I was talking to it, and Richard was with me, and it was trying to eat our coats, and it was all sorts really funny.
Mm.
And it went through me. I'd love to communicate with this creature properly. I'd love to communicate with this creature. Now, people say, you are off your nut. You are out of your mind. But I like being out of my mind, because being out of my mind, one day maybe I will be able to communicate with that creature properly.
Mm.
And wouldn't it be a shock if you actually found out that that creature was more intelligent than we are? Because how do you measure intelligence?
Well, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's exactly true, isn't it? I mean, we presume we're the be-all and the end-all of everything. That's what we presume. And it is implied assumption. That's exactly how the legal system works. Implied assumption. It assumes. It assumes that we will always represent that piece of paper that was created in the legal world to trap us.
Mm.
And it is implied that we will always, always represent it. But it's a problem to them when someone peacefully doesn't represent it and actually says, you're talking to a piece of paper, I'm going to give you that piece of paper to talk to. It ain't going to talk back to you, but I'm not representing it anymore. I'm a human being. I am not a person.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about that as well, John, the idea that or I should rephrase that and say, is there a way then to not respond to the so-called obligations that we have when it comes to paperwork, when it comes to, I guess we're automatically put into the system because of our birth certificate, so we're kind of, although we personally didn't agree to it, our parents did, so we kind of ending up with it at the end of the day. But in regards to getting out of the system or something like that, is that something you've been trying to do that you would recommend, or is that just more work that is unnecessary? Can we
just? It's hard. I'm not going to say it isn't. One of the hardest things that you when you do, I suppose what I did, and when you suddenly realise you realise what this is all about, or I realise what this is all about, you suddenly realise that you are actually for the first time in your life absolutely 100% taking responsibility for your actions.
Yeah.
Because I live under basic principles of harm and loss. And when you live under them basic principles, whether it be by word or whether it be by action, then you don't do it. You don't do it, and you don't. It's not. I suppose you could say you don't knowingly do it, but you don't do it. You don't. And when you start, and it's hard. It is very, very difficult because the ego wants you to do it, but you have to live. Yeah, you have to. That responsibility is not just to yourself as being a human being. It's to every human being on the planet. You have to be responsible for your own actions and your actions towards every human being, even what you say to every human being. There's a responsibility. The problem is with our world is that most persons in the world do things without no accountability or no responsibility.
Yeah, that's right.
They can basically just do it. I mean, look at when, you know, United Kingdom and America went to war in Iraq. Mm. So, I mean, when you actually look at the foundation of law, you know, I mean, there is some people in United Kingdom are basically just, you know, going up against the war, and they've actually found out, which is absolutely true, that, you know, I mean, in the law of this country, it actually says that we cannot go to war with another country unless that country declares war on us first.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, as far as I understand, that's exactly the same as in America.
Mm.
And as far as I understand, that Iraq or Afghanistan never actually declared war on us. So instantly, you've got an instance where that's an unlawful war. But remember what I'm saying about the different types of statutes. There's the public and the private. So they don't come under the normal. So that's why Tony Blair and George Bush have never actually been in under trial for war crimes,
yeah,
which they're quite guilty of.
Of course.
You know.
Yeah.
But you mean, I like I said earlier, I don't believe sort of in that. You mean they've got to battle their own demons, and they, you know, sooner or later they're going to come down on top of them. So they've got, you mean, I wouldn't want to be them.
They are demons. That's what.
Well, yeah, but they're not the human beings. They are human beings, but unfortunately they have a demon, as we all have a demon, if you want to put it in that term,
right,
which is
right.
The
ego. They're giving the demon more space, as it were. It's taken over their body, even, you know.
Oh, yeah. Blimey. They certainly are. Well, that's the shutter door. Remember what I was telling you about the shutter door?
Yeah.
That's the shutter door. That is it. What happens when these people actually believe they are a person? They believe they are the ego.
Mm.
This shutter door comes down behind the eyes. Now, if you look at Tony Blair or George Bush, you look at any of these individuals, Brian talks about this as well. When you look at them, it looks like you're looking into hollow eyes, and you know, they say the eyes are the windows to the soul. And generally, if you look at someone's eyes, you don't quite know what you see, but you react to it. There's something there. When you look in George Bush's eyes, or Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, Miliband, all these sort of people, when you look at their eyes, they're blank. And this is a shutter door that comes down, I believe, that the ego is, when the human being believes it's the ego, this shutter door comes down and cuts off the normal human emotions. One of them being is, you know, we talked like sort of a minute ago about sort of the paedophilia and that sort of stuff that's going on in the world. And there is a lot of it. And, you know, there is like sort of the Ministry of Funny Handshakes and all these different people who are involved in this sort of stuff. But to us as in a human state, if you like, it's beyond imagination doing that to a child.
Yeah.
So that means there is emotions in us that would stop us from doing that.
Mm.
In these people, because the egos took over, them emotions have been shut down. There's a shutter door comes down and they can't get through.
Mm.
All I'm saying is that sooner or later, when that shutter door lifts up, these people have to battle with the emotions of what they've done. They will have to do it, naturally. That's going to actually happen to them. And that's what's happening to the world at the moment. And this is actually starting. It's already started. You can see it in people. And you can see the process, because look at these people, and they seem to be getting ill.
Hmm.
They look stressed. They look worried. They look ill.
Yeah.
And this process is going on. It's something that's going to happen to the whole world. So I've battled mine, and I battle mine every day. I've battled my demons. I've actually, you know, in the right sense of the word, I'm not saying they're demons or, you know, there's bloody hell and all that crap that religion tells you.
Mm.
What I've battled the things in my life, and I've done it, and I've come to terms with it in myself, and it's forgotten about, and I don't think about it again. Once you've done it and you've battled it, you forget about it and it doesn't affect you for the rest of your life, because you've learned. You don't have to continually learn the same lesson. Once you've learned the lesson, shut it down and it goes, because once you've learned it, most of the time, you won't do it again. If it's a bad thing, especially. The little things that we do every day, that we, you know, and habits, I suppose, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is the poisons we put in our body, yeah, which is incredible. You know, the poisons that are out there that you can actually put in your body without actually knowing you are putting them in.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. It really is. And I don't really get into that sort of thing, but I just look at food and I look at what they're putting in the food.
Yeah.
And after, I don't even know what it, because it, E this, E that, and whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not right. And it isn't right. So there's something they're doing that, and I don't know what they're doing to us. I don't know why they're doing it. I haven't got a clue, but there's a lot of people.
My guess just is that they're changing the human being again. They're changing what the human being is and how we're, our expressions, our properties, if you will, of what we're going to be able to do. It feels like we're under this incredible, you know, reconstruction, as it were, both in regards to society, but also in regards to what the human being is. But that's another story. No, let's not dwell on that. No.
Yeah, I kind of, yeah. I kind of go down in line. Yeah. So, I look at everything very, like I said, I look at everything very black and white. It's like sort of right and wrong. I know there's something going on with the food. I don't know what it is. I don't really want to know. As long as I know there's something going on, I steer away from it as much as I possibly can. Anything that's been chemically put into food. Obviously, this in this day and age is very, very difficult to do,
yeah,
because
yeah,
it, from what I know from other people telling me, they mess around with vegetables and fruit and all sorts of bloody things.
Yeah, man, yeah.
But I kind of, you know, everything that's going on in the world relating to the food and what we do and everything is in some ways I see that also as an illusion. Because for argument's sake, if I say to you, excuse me, this E number does this to your body, then every time you see this E number in your food, you're gonna worry about it and stress about it. Okay? And it causes worry and stress.
Mm.
So what you do is you cut out this E number. So you recognise that, and you've taken that E number out your food. You'll take this out, you take that out, take that.
Mm.
So in some ways, what they're doing is actually helping us to eat healthier.
Exactly. Very good point.
It's working in the reverse.
Yes.
It's fantastic, and that's why I see everything. It works in.
Yet again, sorry to cut you off, but I just want to mention also, that only then applies to people who have the awareness and, if you will, interest of finding out these type of things. I mean, in most cases where this doesn't work or doesn't apply, though, is where people are so naive that they think that, you know, no, there's no one out there who would do this kind of stuff to harm us or to hurt us. And these are many of the people who are getting in trouble because of it, you know.
Well, I also say that as a double-edged sword, because, like I said, most of the people who actually connected in massively without even knowing are people who generally just love. And because they generally just love, I do honestly believe that they have a form of protection, because love is the ultimate protection. It is the most powerful force in the world. Mm-hmm. There is nothing more powerful. And what we're being told is that that's why they had to tarnish the word love with sex. And that's exactly what they've done. If I say to, if I say, Henrik, I love you, then people will actually look at me as to say, well, he's gay. No, but it's the truth. That's what they've done. They're related. Now, if I hug my friends, and even if I would say, if I hug my friends and I give them a cuddle, then other people look at that as us being, you know, that affection is related now to the to gayness, to homosexuality, which is they class as an affliction.
Mm.
They class that as an affliction. You know, this is how, because that's religion again. It's got in there and said, no, this is not natural. This is not how. I'd like to know who told them it's not natural. You know, I mean, do you know the story? I've got to tell you, this is so funny. I was watching a comedian the other night, and I love humour, satirical humour. The British humour is very satirical.
Mm-hmm.
There was a comedian. He was telling a story about two gay men that were on a plane, and they were kissing, and this bloke, very heterosexual, started complaining. He really started complaining, and he turned around and said, it's just not natural, it's not natural. And one of the gay men turned around and says, but you're flying.
Mm.
And he said, But most people will miss what's being said there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's satirical humour, they miss what's being said there. And simply what he's saying is, but you're flying. That's not exactly natural, is it?
Well, well, exactly. If we get into the definements of what is natural and what isn't, the lines become very, very blurry, you know? It's very
But
difficult.
What I'm saying is, that's the problem, see? People kind of like, they... The British humour is very satirical. Satirical humour is quite important to us, because I don't know if you've watched, if you ever have any chance of watching any satirical humour, because you will actually see boundaries pushed that can't be pushed any other way. There is no boundaries to it at all. And this is one thing that I've always maintained, that the truth has no boundaries.
Right.
There is no boundaries. It cannot be contained. It cannot be contained by anything. And it will go wherever it goes. What I'm saying is, love is the most powerful thing in the world. Love of friendship and companionship, that's exactly what human beings need right now. So what the best thing that they could have done is exactly what they've done, is tarnished that word with sex. And that's exactly what they've done.
Mm.
Because they don't want human beings to connect with love anymore. That's the last thing they want. They don't want two men to be able to cuddle and show affection because they're friends, because they love each other, because they're friends.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the sexual element whatsoever. But because that's why you don't see it anymore. You don't, and so many people are frightened of touching someone else. They are so frightened of actually, one of the best ways that human beings communicate is by touch.
Hmm.
I can show how much in England, I don't know if it's like everyone shakes hands. Have you ever been to England?
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
And everybody shakes hands, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's a gentleman's way of greeting someone.
Sure. Well, it's pretty much the same up here as well, actually. But yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now look at the word gentleman. What is it actually saying to you?
It's a kind man. A gentleman.
No. A gentle man. Mm-hmm. A man who is gentle.
Yeah.
A man who wants to be friends. A man who is saying, I offer you my hand in friendship.
Right.
But that's been corrupted. In England, that's been complete. When a gentleman is a man of statute, a man of status, a man bowler hat and a pinstripe suit and a tie and carries an umbrella.
Right, right.
See how they corrupt everything. So they've taken a very simple thing: a gentleman, a man who is gentle.
Mm.
You know, when you touch something gently. You know, but we're not allowed to do that as men. We have to be big and macho and you know, because that's how society wants us to be. Look at the adverts on the television. It's all about muscles and physique, and you can look like this if you use this aftershave.
Right,
what a load of crap.
Well, I agree. And again, it's the same thing that I was talking about before there when it comes to reforming or reshaping what the human being is. I feel personally that this has been going on throughout history, to slowly and surely get the human being away from what it is natural, and again, to slowly acclimatize us and adapt us to this artificial system.
Absolutely. Illusion. Yeah.
The illusion, yeah, absolutely. And nothing can be more, I feel, powerful in that sense to manipulate people when it comes to things like love and also their sexuality. I mean, those are some of the powerful driving forces that, you know, human beings have, and hence they understand that, okay, let's target these areas because they are important to them.
And you know what? The funny thing is that most men won't admit it, but most men, I've got friends who are gay on both sides, you know, both men and women who are gay. They're brilliant. I love them to bits. And there's an attraction to gay people in a different way, because a man is naturally attracted to a woman. This is what religion will tell you. But what men are frightened of is that they could be attracted to the feminine within a man.
Right, right.
That frightens them. That really frightens them, because society tells you that that's not right. You shouldn't be like that. You know, and it's wrong. You know, I don't know why people are like they are. I don't understand, and I don't need to understand. That's the point. I don't understand what someone from Sweden is saying to me when they talk to me in Swedish, I haven't got a clue what they're saying. But if I'm standing in front of that that individual and I'm actually looking at the body language and I'm sort of looking in the eyes, I get a gist of what's going on. And that's just that's an actual thing that's happening. I get a gist of what they are trying to get over to me. You know, and because you're reading, but if you stereotype everything and you label everything and you give people complexes about it, they'll stand in front of you and they haven't got a clue because they've lost the ability to allow themselves to open up because they're being confined within these boxes with labels on them. And that's exactly what's happened. That's why they use sexuality against people. So it's such a strong weapon to you, because it doesn't allow you to connect to these people, because you see it. You see people, you know, they won't have a friendship with a gay person. They won't have a friendship. And you say to them, why won't you have a friendship with a gay? And they can't answer you. That's the point. Oh, because they're gay. No. That's just a label. Give me a reason why you can't have a friendship with that individual. It's somebody. It's an individual. Oh, but they're gay. And that's all you get. Oh, but they're gay. And it's like someone said, you know, and what they've done is they've manipulated this in such a way that now we do it with the colour of skin. We do it with the way people speak. We do it with from whatever country they're from. Then they bring terrorism into it. This is why terrorism works so well.
Yeah.
Well, because they say, right, now, everyone from Islam, you've got to be suspect of them. Why? Because they're from Islam, and Islam, there's terrorists come from Islam. They did 9/11. They did 7/7. They did this. Can you prove that? Can you actually show me evidence? Well, can you provide me evidence that every single member of that community that happens to look like that and speak that way are attributed to terrorist acts? Can you do that? So why are you believing this crap? Because this is how they've done it. It's very, very simple. The legal illusion that we live under is exactly the same. That illusion is manifested into the world, into the lives, because society says this, and we believe as persons we have to do this. And it's like, it's incredible. I look at it the world over, and it's exactly the same in every single country. There is no difference. It's exactly the same. And it's divide. It's conquer. When you divide people, you conquer people.
Yeah, exactly.
You break it down. You look at England, well, you look at the UK, you've got Cornwall, Wales, Scotland, England, and then you've got Ireland, which is... Yeah, it's funny enough, I was talking to my partner about this today. Ireland is a separate country on its own. It's just that the English went over there and stole a bit and then claimed it as their own. And since that, forever, there's been a war in that country. Now, you know, Ireland is a separate country on its own. An island, if you like. The United Kingdom used to be, as far as I understand, an island called Albion. It was the island of Albion. Yeah. So what they did is they drew a line between Scotland and England. They drew a line between Wales and England, and now they've got another line between Cornwall and England. So what they've done is absolutely smashed the people of an island to bits and then actually got them to hate each other, right? Political parties did exactly the same. What political parties did in England, in the United Kingdom, was exactly the same. You had the basics were Labour, Liberal, and Conservatives. Then you had the people who don't follow. So you've got a four-way divide. It's exactly the same. It's all devised for the same reasons. Then when you look at politics and you look at what politics does, the policy, and you look at the Houses of Parliament and you actually watch it, you've got one side's ego is battling with the other side's ego. And that's all it is, a battle of the egos.
Right and left and red and blue and, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. See, and that's what I'm saying. So what they do is they devise this very, very simple system. We say, right, we have this society, and you're going to conform to it, and you're going to do everything that we say you should do because you are a member of this society. And the birth certificate is exactly, that's how they created it. That's how they did it. They did it with the birth certificate, and they've done this all over the world. But the simple truth of it is that if you are going to want to, if you want to control something, then you have to basically divide it.
Yeah.
Once you divide it, then it's easier to control. Yes. That's exactly what they've done with the world.
Absolutely. Hey, John, I'm going to ask you here a little bit before we begin to round things up here for this time. This idea, again, of going back to the internet, that you said before, that this will, I don't know if you want to put it into context of that, it has to be shut down or that you want to have it shut down. But can we put that also into the context? Because, again, if we talk about the idea that what we want, is that something that we also should superimpose over other people or try to impose on other people, meaning that, yeah, I think you know what I mean. I mean, I'm talking about this idea that should our will, or your personal will in this case, override someone else's? Is there space here for... Do they have the right to run the system the way they want to? And the only thing we have the quote-unquote right to do is to disconnect from the system if we're smart enough to get out of it. But what I'm saying is that if we do like they did in Fight Club, in that scene where they blow up the buildings and everything is set back to zero, is that something you would do like in regards to your morals? Do you know what I mean? Do you think that is the right thing to do? Or is that just imposing your will upon someone else and saying, this is the right way to do it, and this is my way, and now everyone is going to live under that as well? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't exactly. No. I exactly where you're coming from. No. I don't know what's going to happen because there is... like I said, I only live in the now.
Mm.
I personally will step away from the internet in time and will never go near it again. And I believe in my heart that every human being in the world will do exactly the same. I believe that the only way that this can, that anything can ever be sorted out in the world is it has to be done actually. It cannot be done with any form of violence because violence only begets violence. And we have a chance for once in the history of the world for every human being in this world to live peacefully. We have a chance for that to happen. And it's being made available to us because people are changing. I believe that, like I said to you before, when you want to stop saying having power over you, if you turn your back on it and ignore it, its power diminishes. Now, people are going to argue left, right, and centre, until they're blue in the face that what I'm saying is wrong.
Mm.
But I do believe that in the end, people will just naturally turn away from it. They will actually turn away, and they will leave it behind because they will suddenly realise that they don't need it anymore. And as that happens, and it will just naturally shut down on its own.
Mm.
It just won't be needed anymore. It's not something. There won't. I have no right to affect anybody's free will in any shape or fashion. I have no right to tell people what to do because that comes under what I believe in. Is if I don't want to be controlled, then I should want no control.
Right.
And I've come a long way on my journey, and I suddenly realised a long time ago that how little I really know.
I think that's always a sober. A fundament, so to speak, to actually stand on when you go into many of these kinds of areas and topics.
Absolutely.
That helps to keep your mind open and fresh in regard, and also a sense of that you're being, humble and in regards to the topics that you encounter. That might not be right or wrong or whatever, but just keep your mind open.
How I see it is it's really strange because I actually see the complete opposite. Because I actually don't need to know. That's the point.
Hmm.
And I don't want to keep my mind open for anything. The last thing, I actually want to shut my mind down completely. Because once it's shut down, and it is shut down, the ego is gone. I will sacrifice the person. Once the person's been sacrificed, then I will really know what it's like to be a human being.
I think I have Nietzsche's quote a little bit in the back of my head. He said, be careful to throw out your demons, because then you might throw out the best part of yourself. I have that idea in the back of my
head. Yeah, I know. The best part of me is in my heart. My heart is me. My mind is my mind has a disease, and the disease is an ego, and it's an affliction of the mind. The only way to actually to get rid of the ego, how I see it, and it's only my view, one of 6 billion, but my view is that I need to shut my mind down. Mm-hmm. And once my mind shut down, when I did it a little while ago, and I actually achieved it, and I can achieve it, sometimes it rears its ugly head. Like I've said, it's a personal battle, and it is personal. Mm. It really is. It's because it's a battle between being a person and not being a person. And people say you're out of your mind, and like I say, it takes practice to do it. And you do slip up, and you do, believe me. And but I know that I have never been happier. When I can actually manage to shut my mind down, I'm happy, and something opens up, Rick, and I don't know what it is, and I don't want to explain it, but there is something opens up, and I get something now that's called a warmth, and I say, I can't explain it any other way, it's just a warmth, and I've got it now, funny enough, and it's when I'm relaxed, and it's when I'm, I don't know, it's like when I stand on stage and talk to people, it's like I'm a conduit. It's not, it's me, but it's like I'm a conduit. It's my heart that's speaking, not me. It's not my mind. I think about anything I'm going to say. It just comes out.
Mm.
And I just open my mouth and it comes out. And the last time I spoke down in London, there was an incredible amount of laughter. And one of the things that I've noticed with laughter is that when you laugh, you fear nothing. You fear nothing. Fear cannot attack you while you're happy and you're laughing. And like I said, the future's not here yet. And if I can create my future, then I'm going to create a future of happiness and laughter and love.
That sounds like a very good idea. I like that. I couldn't agree more with you. Hey, why don't we do like this? Mention your website again for us, and do you have any other speaking engagements going on here in case people want to check some of that out?
I'm down in London at the Foundry at 4 p.m. on Saturday. Mm-hmm. The website has all the other dates. There is dates. They are increasing. It's quite slow, which is quite nice at the moment because it's not too manic. It's quite a lot. It's very relaxed. But we've got some more dates coming up, which can be found on the there's a page sort of dedicated to the talks.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is in London at the Foundry, and that's 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. There is the only limited room, and we did actually have it packed to the rafters last time, which totally shocked me because I was absolutely astounded at that amount of people and where they travel from as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on Saturday. If you want to check anything out about me or the website, it's tpuc.org, which is the People's United Community. And like I said before, it is a community of individuals from all over the world who come with their problems and try to help as much as we possibly can. And there's a lot of stuff on the website that people can look at, a lot of good information. And it is evolving. It's evolving again, actually. It's starting to evolve again, which is great. And the lads are working very, very hard in the background trying to keep this thing up and running because the amount of hits we're getting at the moment is quite incredible. And I would like people to come to us with whatever they've got in their country so we can understand the very fundamentals of what's going on in their country, and maybe we can see something to help, or maybe someone already on the website can help them. I don't know.
Mm.
None of us know all the answers, and in fact, I'm starting to realise that I actually know none of the answers, not yet. I know there's an illusion. I kind of understand in my own heart now how this illusion's been created. And I have very, very simplistic ways of working within the illusion and actually causing it problems. And when I entered into Lawful Rebellion, one of the reasons I did Lawful Rebellion was basically, one, because it's lawful, and two, because the article I used to base it upon talks of peace. It talks about doing things peacefully, and hindering is peaceful. The world we live in loves pieces of paper. One piece of paper in our world creates 10 in theirs. If they love paperwork, let's give them a bit more.
That's a good idea. Again, the website is tpuc.org. You go over there, take a good look around. And John, keep up the good work. And thank you very much for sharing your perspective with us. I found it really interesting. And keep up the good work, as I said. And there's so much more to talk about. And we'll also, I guess, see how things develop here in the future. There will be undoubtedly new areas to explore, right?
It's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much. It certainly has been my pleasure to come and talk to you. I've enjoyed it immensely. I really have. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. And everyone out there listening, thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back soon, so take good care, everyone. Talk later. Bye-bye. That concludes our program with John Harris. Thank you for joining us, listening to some of his research, his ideas and thoughts. And don't forget to check out his video presentation as well. We'll be back on Thursday. Next up, we have Scott Tipps and Adrian Gilbert. More information on redeyescreations.com. My thanks to Fredrik Palmgren, our producer. Take good care, and we'll talk more soon.